Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and if you're able and you're there, please stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. As usually, we have on the back of the bulletin a place where you can make notes with just the points. This morning you'll notice there's just 2 points. But we're still in our big series. The resurrection, folks, is big. It's probably the biggest thing in our salvation as far as the actual happenings. In verse number 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so is it written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of earth, earthy, and the second man, the Lord, from heaven. As the earthy, such are they that are earthy, and as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Let's pray. Father, come to you this morning, Lord, asking for your power. I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to empower this message, Lord. I'm praying also that the Spirit of God would work in the people that are here this morning, Lord. Various needs, I'm sure. Some are in denial that they maybe have a need. But Lord, I know that we need you every hour. And maybe there's some here that religiously go through the motions and are not even saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's some that may be saved, but their spiritual life is just going through the motions. And there may be some here today for the first time that may hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and understand that they need Jesus to have the entrance into heaven and avoid eternity in hell. So I pray that you would bless this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The gospel, very simple this morning. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about the cross, and some of you may not have been here. And I want to kind of go back to that before I get into the resurrection. In John 3:16, the Bible says, what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you realize what he gave Jesus for? Do you realize that last week we looked at the scourging? God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to be scourged. Tells us in Isaiah 53 that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to what? Be scourged, to suffer, to be spit upon, and to become your sacrifice for our sins. God so loved the world that he gave. Now there may have been other humans, and Jesus was human and he was 100% God. But there may be humans that have sacrificed their life, but there's none that could sacrifice and get the results that Jesus has gotten, because they were not sinless. As we looked a couple weeks ago, the last verse that we looked at a couple weeks ago said he bore our sin. He took upon his sin. He who knew no sin took our sin. So if you're going to heaven, you're not going on your account. You're going because Jesus said, I'll take your sin and I'll go to the cross and I'll die. Because why? God so loved the world that he gave. I want to ask you this morning, what are you willing to give God? I've talked a lot, and it's just my nature to just shoot straight. the apathy and the lazy disposition of today's church is crazy. It is proven by your amens. I mean, you know, and this is so elementary, folks. I can talk about who this morning knows that they're going to heaven. Say amen. How many of y'all want to give your whole life to service to Jesus Christ? Do you see? And if I'd have got a little bit more specific about who wants to go to Africa and serve in a village where there's cannibals, it would have went way down. I mean, and the only reason y'all probably did so good that time is because you knew where I was going, because I've proved that before. Right? You can even amen that, because I have proven it. When the questions start getting more personal, the amens start going down. And why is that? We're not willing to give God our life. And He's given us everything. He's given us everything. Hey, stop breathing for just a minute and see how long you live. He said, wait a minute, Rick. I'm the one drawing that breath. God's going to give it to you. No amens. No amens. Y'all do believe that God is the sustainer of life, right? I mean, if it's God's will, I could walk outside after church and God could send a rock from up in space and hit just me in the head and kill just me, if that was God's will. You say, that's far-fetched. I mow grass. Been doing it for 30 years. Heard of a guy, read a story. I don't remember exactly the whole deal about it, but he's push mowing his front yard, hit some type of little nail. Okay? I've hit stuff, Randy, with my lawnmower over 30 years. You wouldn't even imagine all the metal stuff. He hits a little bitty nail that's about an inch and a quarter long. It hits just right, goes through there, goes right through his heart, and he dies instantly. I have hit lawnmower blades. I've hit crazy stuff. Almost had my hand drug into a thing because there was a boot laying down at Jenny and M's work, and I reached down to get the boot and pick it up, but I didn't realize that the shoestrings were underneath the deck. And when I pick it up, that grabbed it, and I just barely almost got my hand right down in there that quick. Because our reaction is to hold on to the boot. But this guy, little quarter inch and a quarter nail, hits it push mowing, it hits, bounces up, goes straight through his heart, kills him instantly. You tell me God ain't got a hand in stuff like that. So I want to say there for you today, God so loved the world that He gave. What are you giving Him? What are you willing to give Him? Are you willing to just keep what you got and keep going? Now, I'm all here to tell you this, because here's what the Bible teaches, not Rick. You can do that. You can live your life the way you want to and do the things you want to, but there's a cost to it. Biblically, not because Rick's trying to encourage anything, but the Bible states it. The Bible says you deny, Jesus said, you deny me and what? I'm going to deny you before my Heavenly Father. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, right? And it also goes so far as to say whatsoever is, and I'm messing up here, because whatsoever is sown in the Spirit will reap the Spirit. Whatsoever is sown in the flesh shall reap the flesh. So you go out there and live your life in the flesh. You kids go ahead and stay up all night playing video games and never pray, never read your Bible. You're going to sow it. You're going to reap it. Hey, if you believe the Bible, you're going to reap it. You're going to reap it. You're going to reap it. Say, Rick, what? I thought this was about the resurrection. I thought the title of this was Victory. It is. But I'm here to tell you, we don't live like we're victorious. This morning, I just want to share with you two simple points. And look at, if you have your bulletin set down, if you're going to make notes, I want you to look at verse 42. There's two words that you need to pay attention to. The first one is sown, S-O-W-N. That word sown is the harvest of what's sown. In other words, it says there that it is sown in incorruption. Now, just like I just said about living in the flesh, you live your life, you're going to reap a harvest from it. So it says sown in corruption. Whatever you live your life, that's what you're going to get. You teach your kids to be self-centered, what are you going to reap? A self-centered kid. You're going to raise a kid that never prays, never reads their Bible, what are you going to get? A prayerless, worshipless child. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The second word you need to pay attention to, and this is important, raised. There in verse 42, it says raised in incorruption. Now the definition of that is the resurrection of human beings. Now before I go any farther, yes, our sins, if you're saved, and you by faith, you trust in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Okay? That should be an easy one to amen, right? Jesus paid the price. We accepted it by faith. He's forgiven us, right? And we're going to heaven, right? Everybody should, if you're saved here today, you should say amen. And if you're not saved, you don't know for sure, you're probably going, uh-oh. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And I don't care whether you're somebody that's come to this church 10 times, 100 times, been a member for 70 years or 5 years or not a member, getting to heaven is through Jesus Christ alone, and you need to get Him as your Savior so that you can go to heaven and then worry about church, then worry about the rest of the stuff. Okay? So, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And when we get saved, it says we're raised incorruptible. All right? So that is a resurrection of the human body. Now the Bible states, and I won't go through in all of it because I want to really get to the bottom of my message. But I had to get your attention because I believe too many of us today are idle in our Christian life. It says in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Okay? And it says also it is sown in incorruption. You know that those sweet little babies, when they come out, they are so sweet. But you know what? Are they born a sinner? You just got to wait for the sinning. It's coming. Now, I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's your kid, your grandkid. I mean, little Micah or little Amelia, our grandkids. You know, you can say they're oh so sweet. Oh, they're so sweet. And I'm talking about yours and whoever they are. But you can say, now, don't do that, Micah. And he'll go over there and he'll go and do it anyway. And God says, don't do that. And we walk over there and we look back at God and go, everybody else is doing it. Ain't that big a deal? That mars the relationship, folks. We should want to please our Heavenly Father. And we should want to read His Word and dig in there and read, how can I best do that? But I don't think we're doing that. I don't think we're reading it. And sometimes when it's something hard, we'd go, you're asking too much, God. I get confronted with that every week. The Word of God will confront your lifestyle and will ask it to adjust to God's way of living. But hey, it's easy if you just lay that Bible on the table and don't ever read it. And when you read it, you're just reading it so you can feel good in the morning and say, well, let's go to work. Happy am I. And I'm not saying every one of them you got to have a conviction and try to change something. But God is wanting to speak to our spirit and change us. Now, we got the flesh, we got the spirit. Okay? You're always going to have those two, and if you're saved, you're always going to have those two. All right? You got the one that's been resurrected, you got the one that's sown in corruption. I have to do this because a lot of people think once you get saved that everything's fairy tales and dreams after that. It's not. Because you always got this old flesh over here going, hey, Rick, hey, Rick. And you got it too. Don't look at me funny. You got it too. And it's all different for everybody. And you know what? All God wants us to do is recognize that that's a weakness and to feed that spirit. But even when that's strong, the flesh will still come up there. And we'll still go, Rick, you've been so good for so long. You can do that. It's okay. Or you don't have to do that because you've... Hey, look, you're good. You're a preacher. You don't have to do that. See, it's easy for us to convince ourselves. So here we got the flesh over here. We got the spirit over here. So look what it says. And I just want to give some sense to it. Corruption. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden fell, right? Right? Eve was deceived. Adam willfully sinned. Adam, being the head of the family, bears the responsibility. They both were in sin, but Adam bore the responsibility. Men in your families, in your life, you're going to bear the responsibility. And if there's not a male figure there, whoever is put in place in that family is going to bear the responsibility of being head of the family. And all these young people, you're in charge of your own life. It's not that person that's in charge of the head of the family is going to be the only one charged. You're going to be charged for it too. So you need to learn how to live according to God's will. Now, also that sin brought about a curse that God set forth in Genesis chapter 2 and in chapter 3. But that sin, folks, brings forth death. Over in James chapter 1, I'm going to run you around here for just a few minutes to show you some scriptures. Chapter 1, verse 15, it says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Don't ever forget that. That's always the chronological order. Sin will always bring forth death. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says the wages of sin is what? Death. Sin will always bring about death. Even in a saved person's life. And I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about it will bring about a dead spot in your relationship with God. It will bring about a deadness in your life. Now we go ahead and look at in verse 43. It says it is sown in dishonor and raised in glory. You know, when you were born, and I was born, without Jesus Christ, we can't honor God. We cannot honor God. And we can submit to God in prayer and stuff, but until we're born again, because look what it says, sown in dishonor. What does that word mean? The harvest of what's sown. Anything we have. Isaiah said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. The best we got's dirty. The very best. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary, possibly the greatest Christian that we have in a historical account, he said, I look at my flesh, for within my flesh dwelleth no good thing. See, God's holy, God's pure, God's righteous. And he sent his son to die that was sinless, pure, spotless, righteous. And when we put our faith and trust in Him, we stand in His righteousness. We stand in His righteousness, not in our own. And what does that bring forth? Look what it says, sown in dishonor, and it is raised in what? Glory. 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 And that's Jesus' main mantra there in John chapter 17. Go with me over there for just a moment. Just spotting some verses here to share with you. Verse number 4 and 5 of John 17. Jesus says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 10, all of mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. How many of you fathers, mothers, grandparents love to see your children do things that please you? Well, there's a lot of hands. What's wrong with y'all participating like that? How many of y'all know that when we do something that pleases our Heavenly Father, He looks and He's glorified? I mean, He is glorified. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of goodness that, oh, my little boy opened the door for somebody. I'm talking about something that was God-driven. I'm talking about something that God, only God could do through a person. I'm talking about, I think it was Brother Bill was talking about it. I don't know whether, or maybe I heard it on the radio this morning. Yeah, it was. That childlike faith. And we lose that as adults because we start putting in our own weaknesses and start putting in a lot of other things. But this woman was trying to start her car, and she was praying, Lord, I just need you to help me start this car. And starting it, trying it. This little 5-year-old girl goes, Lord, please start the car. Next turn, starts right up. You say, you believe that, Rick? You say, I don't know, childlike faith works better than us trying to work it out our own self. You know, we're doing the experiencing God, okay? And we're learning a lot of things about what God does. God does not send us an invitation without revealing something to us. Jesus says, I work because I see what my Heavenly Father does. And what Jesus say in John chapter 4, my meat is to do the will of the Father. Jesus submitted to His Heavenly Father. We should submit to our Savior to glorify Him. What does it go on to say? The next thing there, it says that it is sown in what? Weakness? Sown in weakness? You know, you couldn't save yourself even if you wanted to. In Romans chapter 5, if you'll turn over there, I got a few verses I'd like to share with you. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6, says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. In verse number 8, it says, but God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at verse 9, for much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. But look at that next word. We're sown in weakness, but we're raised in power. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible tells us that for as many received Him. Have you received Jesus Christ today? Are you a child of God? Do you know Him as your Savior? Well, it says here in verse 12, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That Greek word in our New Testament is the word dunamis, which means a miraculous power. Do you know that when you got saved, you were so weak you couldn't save yourself, but when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, there was birth, a miraculous power. Each and every one of us. I don't care whether you're 5 years old, 55 years old, 105 years old. If you're saved, you have that same miraculous power working within you. And that should excite us. Look, what's the title of the message today? The Resurrection Mission, what? Victorious. We're getting to the victory part. But I had to remind us all that we're sinners. The Bible does tell us that we're all sinners, right? And it's only through what Jesus done and the fact that he was resurrected, it was sown in corruption and what? Raised in incorruption. All those different things that I seen this week. Then we come down to this power thing. What about that hair dryer that sits there and the ladies blow dry their hair and it's not plugged up? Has it got any power? No. What about if they plug that dude into the wall and they just have to flip the switch? For us to operate in the power of God, all we got to do is stay plugged up to him. It's just so simple. But when you're saved, you are raised with this power. But yet, I got to go back to my little illustration about the flesh and the saved person. The spiritual life and the fleshly life. It's a battle. It's a battle. If it wasn't a battle, just in the short time that I've been here, 6.5, 7 years. There's been people that have rededicated their life or made a move in salvation and said, I'm going to do A, B, and C, and they don't do it. Why does that happen? Flesh. That's making y'all feel good, ain't it? Flesh. Why do people that know that they're maybe lost or need to rededicate their life, why do they not come? Flesh. Why do people, I know I'll get a lot of great looks on this. Why does that person that knows, now we talked about the game changer a few weeks ago, the Bible, right? And I believe that God spoke to people, and I believe that people know they should read their Bible. And I'd say since I've been here, there's been a lot of you that are sitting in this audience that have said, yes, I need to become a student of the Word of God, and yet today are you. Rick, I didn't know we were going to go through this old ground. Hey, it's the flesh. It's the flesh. It's the flesh. But we are raised, folks, with the power because of the resurrection. And what I'm sharing with you today, don't forget about the resurrection. We have got that power. We've been sown incorruptible to bring glory to God, and we got the power to do it. And we got to keep raising that banner up in our life to subdue the fleshly powers that keep knocking on our door and suppress them. So that we can see our church, Bradley's Pleasure Baptist Church, start doing what it should do. And that is every week there should be a testimony or story of somebody witnessing to somebody out there or bringing some new person into church. It should happen every week. And don't think that that's the preacher's job. The preacher should be doing that. But you, hey, the Bible's clear. We're going to look tonight. We're going to start talking about the church and what its commission is. And this series that we're talking about, this big series that we're going on Sunday mornings, they're going to collide in a few weeks. If you think you're uncomfortable this week, come on back next week, in the next week. Because we're responsible to tell the world that's going to spend eternity in hell about the option of Jesus Christ and how that he can resurrect them and bring them to a saving knowledge. But we can't sit on our hands in church and go, well, you know, Rick, that was a great message. Keep on telling them How many of y'all are sitting there right now going, I know there's somebody who needs that message? Just throw it on back. Throw it back up there to Brother Denny. Throw it up there to the preacher's wife. No, you accept it yourself. So you've been resurrected from the dead, folks. You have spiritual vitality within you. Second point I want to make here this morning, and I'm bypassing so much, I know. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. An amazing set of scriptures right here. And this is Paul talking to the Philippians. He says in verse number 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now you see and hear his submission, right? Look in verse number 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now here we're looking at the glory, but look at the power here. Verse number 10, that I may know him and the what? The power of his resurrection. I believe we're missing this. I believe most of us, I believe I'm missing this for the most part. Paul says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. I don't remember which great evangelist it was, and I'm sure I can look around because it's a well-known quote. He went to a revival meeting, and a preacher says, what God could do with a man that was 100% solely committed and surrendered to the will of God. Think about that. 100% solely committed to the purpose and the will of God. That same guy said, I want to be that guy. And I think it's Dwight L. Moody. I may be wrong, but he went to Chicago, if I'm correct, and almost transformed a city in Chicago because he was a man 100% solely committed to God and the will of God. See, if we look at ourselves today, and I don't mean this sarcastically, but if you're looking at your life today and you're saying, I'm 100% committed to God, I'm sorry, I don't think there's a person in here that's that way. And I'll be the first to raise my hand. And the reason for my first point is why not? We've been resurrected from the dead. We're going to heaven. And Paul says, I'd like to know the power of the resurrection. God's speaking to you right now saying, hey, boy, I'd like to get a hold of some of what Rick's got. It's not in my coffee, folks. It's not even in my study. It's in the Word of God and the Son of God. And it's free for all that want it. It's free for all that will just totally commit themselves to God. Second point this morning, if you'll notice, I just had 2 points on my message this morning, the Redeemer of the dead. And this is a short point, but it's very important that you know that the last Adam that it's talking about there in our context, it says there in verse 45, so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, Jesus is referred to as the last Adam, and he is made a quickening spirit. That word quickening means to be able to give life. It tells us in John chapter 1 that light that was Jesus is the light of life. That's why we're supposed to shine this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Go to Vacation Bible School after them kids been singing it all week and they're starting to believe it. And they're starting to sing it loud. Oh, let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. You're like, go ahead and let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it. And they're just getting louder and louder.
Let's try singing it this morning. This light of mine. I'm seeing how quietly y'all sing it. See, I'm curious if there's anybody want to get up and say, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a... Who's going to do it? Okay. Does it embarrass you to sing about God that way? I'm looking for one person in the building to say, I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Sing it out loud. Gonna let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. See, with just a simple analogy like that, folks, and it may sound funny. But if you're not willing to stand up here in God's house and say, let it shine till Jesus comes, and know that that light can transform this community, there's something eerily wrong with that. Because you definitely ain't going to do it out there. Unless it's a special friend or something. See, I'm just crazy enough to believe now. And y'all heard me. I would rather witness to a cold stranger than somebody that I know pretty good. It's just my tendency. I mean, I walk up to a stranger and say, can I tell you about Jesus Christ? And I'm like, that may be my comfort zone, but I'm okay with that. But I'm getting better with the other part because you know what? I want to let it shine until Jesus comes. I want to let it shine. And I want to challenge you today, just your heart, just in that simple little analogy of singing that simple little song. Y'all ready? This is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. See, if you read in the Fox's Books of Martyr when that 8-year-old girl was being burnt at a stake, and they were saying, you just recant of Jesus Christ and we'll cut you loose. And she said, no, I want to live for Jesus even through my death. An 8-year-old little girl. She said, the flames may be hot, but my Savior is still good. An 8-year-old little girl didn't succumb to a bunch of men threatening her with fire. But yet here in our comfort zone, we have a hard time just singing this little light of mine. Let me finish up. I know I got caught there. I'm sorry. But I'm here to tell you, folks, God has birthed in us spiritual life. Let's go to John chapter 6. Remember the disciples in different places when Jesus was discipling them? They would say, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us this. In verse 34 it says, and they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They were wanting Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 35, he said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should not lose nothing, but should raise it up. There's our word, raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus is the redeemer of the dead, folks. He's the one that brings spiritual life into the deal. And I'm just going to eliminate some of the stuff that's on my notes. I want you to know that in Adam we all die, and in Christ we all live. Look at verse number 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. And I'll bring this thing in for a landing. And you can go home and eat. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man cometh death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Let's talk about the last Adam. There in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even in Christ shall all be made alive. See, without the resurrection, folks, we could talk about all the other things in the scripture, and that really boils down my message this morning. Without the resurrection, we ain't going to heaven. Look at verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. See, the people that don't believe in the resurrection or don't realize that they have been resurrected from the dead, they're miserable. Just think of the little light. If you're not risen to the point where you can shout it out for Jesus, that's probably about what kind of Christian life you're going to live. You're going to live a life that almost won't shout it out for Jesus. You only do for God what you believe about Him. That makes sense this morning. Your Christian life will only amount to what you believe that God can do in your life. And you'll only do what you really trust Him to do, and He will only do what you'll let Him do. If you hold back from God, He can't work with what you won't give Him. If you don't give it to Him, He can't work with it. Now look over here in the far end of this chapter. Look at a verse here. I want you to see verse 49. Now here's the scary part. This is why Christians sometimes get a rap that we do. It says in verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. If you're born again and you're saved, it doesn't matter what you do, you're bearing the image of Jesus Christ. No matter how poorly or sadly or how well you're doing, you're bearing His image. You know why? Well, that guy, he goes down there to that church. I've heard him. Yeah, I've seen him out there. Well, if I was like that, I'd be, you know, you've heard the story, right? It's almost tax season. Everybody ready? Are all your deductions in line with the law? Left field, right? They come right out of left field. When I was used to do my taxes, I didn't cheat, but I didn't think of everything that I could do lawfully. And you say, that don't make sense. I went from, you know, I let my tax man do it, that deduction sounds like it's in order, to, hey, tax man, is that legal? Because I don't want to break the law. And them saying, hey, they won't catch me, ain't a good answer. Read Romans chapter 13. We're supposed to pay our taxes. And you know what? If people of God do that, we'll be known by that. You said, boy, and it was. Look at verse number 52. We're done, and we'll read a few verses. We're done. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There will be a day that we're changed. In verse 26, it says, the last enemy shall be destroyed is death. In verse 54, and when we this corruptible have put on incorruption, and mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand. I ask Brother Harvey, Miss Lisa, and Matthew to come. Real simple this morning, as God spoke to you. If He has, I invite you to come to the altar. If you've understood that maybe you need to get saved or you need to get your relationship right, you need to come. If you know that you're not serving God the way you should be, you need to come. I realize you can take care of that there in your pew, but it would be a lot better if you come and made it public. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I pray for this time. Lord, I know it's not my voice. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit has spoke to people. And I pray that if He has, that people will respond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.